Reading from the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Chapter 5, Text 43. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Udishyan Kolava Samsadam Gita Krishna Samaksham Vijagara Madrasam Yipandavanam Suryadokta Varana E Tadrisha Mehi Mamasavo Vite. Once in the court of the Kauravas, with me and other sages present, Krishna said of you, a friend of the Pandavas is my friend, and their enemy my enemy. The Pandavas are my very life there. Commentary. Whatever Krishna says must be absolutely true, especially what he says in the presence of pious sages like Narada. So by making this declaration in such a respectable public forum, Krishna is sure that his feelings for the Pandavas would become well known throughout the world. Just as the five pranas maintain the spirit soul and the living body, the five Pandavas assisted Krishna in his pastime. And as the life bear is very dear to the soul, the Pandavas were very dear to Krishna. Krishna therefore says in Mahabharata, the Yoga Parva, 89:28, he who hates the Pandavas hates me, and he who follows them follows me. Know that I am one in spirit with the righteous Pandavas. And Krishna says elsewhere, one should not eat the food of one who is hateful, nor should one feed a hateful person. You, O King, hate the Pandavas, and the Pandavas are my very life heirs. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnanandana Salakaya Saksurumalutam Yena Asmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishnam Sapitam yena bhutale Shayam rupa kadamayam Sadati sapadantikam Vairagya yud bhakti vrsham priyatnai Apayam amanabit samandam Kripam buddhiya paraduka durugi Sanatanastam pabamatriyami Pancha Kaupa Sarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayebhucha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasavi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greetings from Vrindavan. Beautiful winter months here. I mean, not cold at all yet. Quite pleasant. So we are studying the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Nastakayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. The devotional service. The path of bhakti means nitya bhagavata sevaha, to always serve the Bhagavat. Bhagavat means both the book Bhagavat and the person Bhagavat, because the person Bhagavat is always glorifying and speaking about the book Bhagavat, and the book Bhagavat, which literally means of the devotees, or God, is always speaking about the devotees. That's why in the five most potent items of devotional service, the most powerful spiritual practices, one is hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing the sacred texts, and one is sadhu sangha, associating with the saintly people. But when you define sadhu sangha, what does it mean? It means, sadhu sangha means that you hear from that person. And what does he speak? He speaks on the Bhagavatam, or he speaks about the Supreme Absolute Truth. So, Priya Bhagavatamrita is the essence of the Bhagavatam. And because it's the essence of the Bhagavatam, it's about the devotees. And being about the devotees means that God is always glorified. And not only glorified, but glorified with intense devotion, which is called rasa, or deep love. The path of bhakti is the path of making oneself suitable for mercy. It's just like water. If water falls on a rock, nothing will be absorbed. So the mercy of God falling on a heart full of pride, nothing will be absorbed. If the water falls on soil, then water will be absorbed. So if the mercy of God falls on a humble heart, that mercy will be absorbed. So although it's mercy, you cannot invoke when the rains come, you cannot cause when the rains come, but you can make yourself a suitable candidate. So there is practice in devotional service, but that practice does not cause the mercy to come. It just makes the heart suitable for when that mercy comes. And the mercy of God will come, just like eventually it will rain. But when it rains, it's mercy. But if you're receptacle, if you're a suitable receptacle, you will be able to catch that water. So it's all about the heart, and the heart becomes purified by the practice of bhakti or devotion. And in this particular story, we have Narada, the great saint, looking for the topmost devotee. And on his journey, he meets the Pandavas. He's actually directed there. And we're in the process of hearing him glorify the Pandavas, because that is the symptom of devotion. When you're devoted to someone, the symptom of that devotion is your glorification of them. And the more you're attracted to glorification. It's an exact correlation. One's bhakti or level of devotion is exactly congruous with one's desire to glorify God. So, and glorifying God also means glorifying those who are in loving relationship with God. So, Narada's search is to find the topmost recipient of Krishna's mercy. And of course, we discussed this point many, many times. The mercy of God is God Himself. And to understand a person, you can only understand someone to the extent that that person reveals themselves to you. And the extent that a person reveals themselves to you is the extent that they have confidence in your love or devotion for them. So what Narada Muni is actually looking for is the person who has the deepest and most intimate love. And he finds the Pandavas, and as the story goes, he begins to glorify the Pandavas in so many ways for their intimate love. And through Narada, of course through the Pandavas also, but through Narada, we see the nature of an elevated soul. Because what's elevation in bhakti? Elevation in bhakti or devotion is the primary symptom called the Sarup Lakshanam, is when the heart becomes melted by three types of desires. This is the nature of love or devotion. It has three desires. The first desire is the desire to be with the beloved. Oh, it's to please the beloved. And then consequent desire, wanting to please the beloved, you want to be with the beloved. It's a symptom of love. And then you want to attain that love to the highest degree. So these burning desires of one who has full glory to God, these burning desires, they melt the heart. The heart becomes soft. When the heart becomes soft, the heart becomes reactive to the objects of love. When the heart is hard, it does not move in relationship to the objects of love. That's what is that verse in the Bhagavatam. That if one is not weeping in tears when he hears God's holy name, then certainly the heart must be hard-hearted. It can only be due to offense. So this is the nature of bhakti, that the heart is very, very soft and therefore moves very, very easily and very, very powerfully in relationship to the object of one's devotion. And therefore, the symptom of someone whose love has matured is, as soon as he sees someone else, if he sees him with a look, oh, you have the book, the Bhagavatam. Oh, tell me something about God. Tell me something about Krishna. Anything he sees, he's so stimulated in devotion. And of course, in advanced devotion, you become stimulated by the object of devotion. And before you come to that fully mature state, you become stimulated by the process or practices of devotion. I forgot, I was reading the Madhurya Kadambini, maybe at the stage of taste, ruchi, you become attracted to chanting and hearing about God. And more advanced stage, you not only become attracted to the means, but to the object itself, by God Himself. So, our level of advancement will be the degree that our heart is becoming soft with these desires for Krishna consciousness, for the practices of Krishna consciousness, for the objects which are the bestower of mercy to advance in Krishna consciousness. And therefore, spiritual life for the practitioner means always to be in a humble mood of prayer. Just like yesterday was the Shila Bhakti Mahotsav or Shila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And I, Madhava Tithi Bhakti Janani, the days of Lord Hari and the days of the appearance of great saints in relationship to Lord Hari, they give birth to devotion. They move the heart. So on that particular day, there's a disappearance day of a great soul. I just remember, it was just so nice. I went to the temple where they have the Pushpanjali, the flower ceremony, and seeing on the Vyasasan, the murti of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they have a full murti that they put on the Vyasasan. This should stimulate the devotee, one's desire to please Krishna. And the desire to please Krishna means the desire to have one's heart purified so that one can love Krishna. Because what pleases God is his own potency. What bhakti is the essence of the Lord's own Sarup Shakti, his own potency, the blissful essence that's put in the heart of the devotee. And it's that essence of devotion or love which actually can give God pleasure. So when we want and we have some inkling of devotion, then what we're actually doing is we're praying that the potency of God, his loving potency, may come within our heart. So Narada Muni is very, very stimulated when he meets the devotee. That's one of the symptoms of devotion, is if you love someone, then an impetus for that love is someone who is in relationship with that person, just like hopefully in our tradition we have great devotion for Srila Prabhupada, gratitude for Srila Prabhupada, because Nama Shrestham Manumapi Sachi Putram Atra Sarupam Rupam Why? Namish, he gave the best thing, the holy name, which can purify our heart. Sachi Putra, Matra, Sarupam, Sri Chaitanya, the great saints. Radha, Kundam, Girivaram, Madan, Radha, Madhava, Radhikasam, giving Radha Krishna the holy places. So if you have devotion, then those who have love for that person is also an udipan, or a stimulus for your devotion. So Narada is on his path and he meets the Pandavas. Everyone associated with them is not only an impetus for his own attraction for the Pandavas, but it's a glorification of the Pandavas, because one glorification of a great soul is the glorification of the people in relationship to that soul. So, you know, and then the Pandavas themselves. So when he's glorifying the Pandavas, he's glorifying them directly to him. He describes how Krishna reciprocated with them so nicely. He makes arrangements to glorify his devotees. Just like he establishes Yudhisthira, the Rajasuya sacrifice. Krishna, although he could have killed Jarasandha, the great demon himself, he patiently waits for a suitable opportunity, because he wants to give credit to the Pandavas. So in this way, he glorifies all the devotees, even as their rulers, their influence is found within their subjects. And Narada Muni begins to remember in the Hastinapur, the subjects, how advanced they are spiritually, and the prayers of the ladies. Now, he's going to state directly, Narada, how Krishna glorified the Pandavas. Not only does he state it, but he states it publicly. Okay, I'm going to read a few verses today maybe ask for some questions. But let's just read. Somehow, this is not a day of extraordinary flow for me. But we'll read. Text 44. Darshyam mamaho bhavatam gunam kila gyatum javaktum bhavavetsa ekala nyanitam etatumayam mahaprabho satravatirno bhavatam krite param. Just see my arrogance. Only Krishna can adequately know and describe your good qualities. But at least I am convinced that Krishna, that the Supreme Lord, has descended to this world only for the sake of you. Commentary. It is evident from Krishna's dealing with the Pandavas that Krishna understood their sublime character. No one but Krishna was fully qualified to reciprocate with them. Narada, ashamed to have impudently tried to glorify the brothers, apologizes by submitting one fact of which he is certain. Sri Krishna descended to this world only to please the Pandavas and spread their fame. Sri Parikshit Uvacha Atashanam Vajayeva monam quid parta nishpasan Ramarajo bhavimatri pratri patni birhanvita. Sri Parikshit said, for a moment, Dhammaraj Yudhisthira remained quiet, and then he sighed, as if embarrassed. At last he spoke, followed in turn by his brothers, wife, and mother. Commentary, hearing his own praise embarrassed Yudhisthira, or so it seemed. Close to the truth, however, is that he took this exaggerated praise to be false and thought that Narada was teasing him. In either case, Yudhisthira felt sufficiently moved to sigh audibly. Even in front of his mother and younger brothers, he's sighing audibly because, as the devotee, he is not identifying with being significant. It's a humility, but it's not a psychological apparition. It may sometimes have external appearances like that, like sometimes when we know when Haridas Thakur, when he's about to die, and Sri Chaitanya came to him, he said, if an insignificant ant like me dies, then what is the loss? But it's different. It really, what it means is the prime characteristic of devotional humility is this: one thinks less of oneself. He's not self-absorbed. That's not his focus. Really, you can determine a person's spiritual advancement. Boyajan actually said, you could, in his seminar, it was really nice. He says, if you want to check your advancement, stop a few times during the day and see what your actual want or desire is. Are you thinking of others or are you thinking of yourself? A humble person is not thinking of themselves. They're thinking of others. Are you thinking of your desire or you're thinking of what someone else wants? So this is spiritual consciousness. And a humble person. First of all, it's another symptom is humility also means knowledge. One is aware that he's not the center, aware that he's an insignificant part of something greater than oneself, but he doesn't desire to be anything but that insignificant part. Who is of something greater than oneself. And his only desire as the part is to render the service. And render the service means that you must understand the desire of whom you're serving. Yudhisthira said, O crest jewel of billion speakers, Lord, he has no mercy for us. We cannot remember any mercy is shown to us, even after we consider this for a long time. Commentary. By calling Narada an eloquent speaker, Yudhisthira subtly accused him of distorting the truth. And Yudhisthira's opinion proved that Krishna blessed him and his brothers with special favor cannot be bound. So he doesn't think he's special, as Narada is saying. He just... it's just saying Art is a good speaker. Are there any questions?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Yeah, Gail. I need questions today.
Oh, I'm sorry, Maharaj. have a question. I had a comment.
Okay, make a comment.
Yeah, I had a nice experience when you were talking about the fact that even though a person may not yet have love for Krishna, if he has attraction for the processes that will get him that love, that is also a symptom of a soft heart. And the reason why I had a nice experience when you were explaining that is because, you know, I mean, I write down realizations or what I think are realizations as they come to me. And just a few days ago, I had written down, can I read it?
Yeah, please.
I wrote that before I receive a taste for Krishna's names directly, I may receive the taste indirectly in the form of enthusiasm to adopt practices and habits and a lifestyle that facilitates quality japa. And so when you were talking, it was like, it sounded like a confirmation of that realization.
Yeah. Wow, thank you, Gail. That's so nice. It's actually described in book Madhurya Kadambini, where there is a Rupa Goswami describes the different levels of devotion. You know, Adau, Shraddha, Tata, Sadhu, Sangha, Bhajana, Kriya. Then, you know, comes to Nishtha, you're fixed, and you have taste. And I forgot the difference, but there's one, maybe it's between asakti and bhava, or between ruchi and asakti, but one is your taste, and it's very profound and high, is for chanting and hearing. And then, of course, it's not just black or white, but then it shifts more than not just the practices of devotion, but the object of devotion itself. But I've been meditating this week a lot. It's, you know, really how to keep your heart soft. Of course, it's by absorption in devotional practices is obviously the most powerful way. But the symptom of that is an appreciation and a relevance that enters into the consciousness for objects that can help you achieve your objectives of devotion, just like a great soul or a spiritual book or the holy name or the holy Tao. And immediately, if the heart is in a humble mood, immediately a sense of submission and prayer emanates from the heart to those objects, which is an expression of love and very, very satisfying. And as one advances more and more, his that sense of relevance for objects that can bestow mercy becomes greater and greater. And one starts to remain in that type of mood of a soft heart that's melting in relationship to spiritual desire and then one sees everything is how can I please God? How can I attain love for God? How can I be with God? And it becomes a very, very relevant experience, and one can feel the heart move in relationship to just about anything, because everything ultimately is related to God, if one has the proper vision. So that's basically what I'm thinking. Anybody else like to say anything or ask any question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances.
Hare Krishna.
I want to thank you for a wonderful analogy about the rain dropping onto the stone and the rain dropping into the soil. Now, in that context, I have questions. You know, I know I'm too far away to prepare for that. What is the best way to, you know, prepare for the soil? Because Krishna's mercy is there all the time. Only thing is that, you know, we have to prepare our soil to receive it.
How to get a soft heart. Well, to avoid offenses. The other example is, I mean, there are many examples, but the example is like the effect of a saintly person. Even if you're not aware that it's a saintly person, the effect on the consciousness will be there. Provided we don't make the heart resistant by pride due to a false sense of knowledge. Having little knowledge, not really having knowledge, but thinking one has. In other words, the natural condition of the heart is to be a receptacle of mercy. It's only an attitude of offense that actually makes the heart hard. Otherwise, spiritual phenomena should have a profound effect. I've been speaking on the Chaitanya Charitamrita and describing really what is the condition of faith. There's a difference between faith and belief. Belief is an acceptance that something is true, but faith deals with a level of experience. So it's a deeper trust because there's some experience. It may not be full experience. It's just like the holy name. It may not be full experience, but there's some trust based on some experience. That's why it's said that bhakti is based on Shastriya Shraddha, faith in the sacred text. Why? It's the application of those principles. And by the application of the principles in the sacred text, one actually gets direct experience of the validity of those principles. And then one develops this strong faith. But when one, that faith, the faith itself makes a receptacle. And when there's full faith, then one opens one's heart naturally to spiritual phenomena, and they have full effect. And the opposite is if one is offensive. The example I was thinking of is in the scriptures. Is, for example, Narada Muni, who all his sinful activities became destroyed just by taking the words Mahaprasad, or the Bhagavatam, the second verse. By hearing the name of the Lord, once God becomes arrested in the heart. Or, there's just so many examples of immediate transformation. Because it's a level of that faith that opens the heart. So how does faith come? Faith comes from hearing the truth from the proper source and application of that truth that confirms it. And then there develops a trust that somehow or other opens the mind and heart fully to to the influence. Without trust, you won't allow the influence. You won't something to affect you. There's a certain level of trust. So, anyway, it's the application of Shastra. Application of sacred texts gives us faith in those sacred texts. And as we execute those the principles found in sacred texts with faith, our faith increases. And then we almost become vulnerable. We become vulnerable. We become so aware. It's just like hearing. Hearing takes attention. If you're not hearing with attention, it's only superficial. How many times maybe we sat in a class and our mind wandered? The sound vibration was there, but did we hear? The hearing took something else. So that faith allows a degree of receptivity and attention. And then one is very, very aware of the relevance of spiritual phenomena and approaches them with an open heart that allows that to influence our heart. But one of the main things that Jiva Goswami said is avoiding offenses. First, we have to know what they are and be vigilant. Yeah.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Anything else,
Nandadula? I just wanted to know, Maharaj, in this respect, you know, I know in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells, Te sang te antagatam papam jananam punya karmanam te danda maha nirmukta bhajantamam deyavata. So, for us, there is no hope then.
There's no what?
Te sang te antagatam papam. Means, you know, once you know, your all sins have eradicated, only then you...
Well, all that verse says, no. You see, but this is the beauty of it. Initially, when hearing the Shastra or chanting the holy name or taking Mahaprasadam, because the faith is not full, then we won't experience the immediate and powerful benefit of that spiritual phenomena. It's just like it says, when you hear Shastra once, then Krishna's in the heart. Then what happens is, there's two ways to hear the sacred text. One is you hear them for knowledge, to actually... increase your faith, and then is when you hear them with relish. A very advanced person, of course, he assimilates the message, but he's hearing them with relish. What is that verse where it's the first verse in Ramananda Sambhad where finally when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hears that verse from Ramananda Roy, previously he said Ahavaya. Then he said, this is okay. And what does that verse say? It says, I forgot what it says. Something without knowledge, without, you're just hearing and relishing. Hearing and relishing the Krishna Katha, the stories of Krishna, the name of Krishna from a pure soul. You're just hearing and relishing. So what happens is, initially with spiritual phenomena, because of our mentality and our lack of faith, as the Shastra says, well, we should surrender to Guru, we should surrender to Krishna. So if that's the message of Shastra, but we're not actually surrendered to Guru and Krishna, we don't really want to hear it. Because we don't really want to hear it, we don't become immediately influenced by it. But if there's some sincerity, knowing that we need to be purified, we hear those sacred texts, or we chant the holy mantras, or we take the prasadam, and then gradually we become purified to the point of full faith, and then the immediate effect is there. So, yesham pantakatam papam jananam punyakamanam te tandam on nirmukta bhajanti mam. What that means, yesham pantakatam, that you cannot sit down and meditate on God if you're not sufficiently purified. It's just like in Patanjali's Yoga Sutras. The first chapter is meditative absorption. The second chapter is practice. And what's the practice? Kriya Yoga. What does Kriya Yoga mean? Well, there's certain activities you do that purify you and bring you to the point of meditative absorption. What does sin mean? Sin means all these extraneous desires that are coming through the heart. They don't allow us to meditate, because if we try to meditate, we'll be distracted. So we have to do activities that purify us, and the activities that purify us are austerity, simple life. Simple, healthy austerities, swadhyaya, study of the shastras, which also means the chanting of sacred mantras, and Ishvara Pranidhan, which means we give ourselves to God, which means we dedicate our activities to God, and then we become purified. So that verse, yesham tvantikatam papam jananam punya. All this is saying is dridha brita, with determination, you will not be able to do bhajan and worship until your heart becomes purified. But what is the purification? It's to adopt that practice. And other practices that may be more suitable for your purification. Kriya Yoga, which means the yoga of action that deals with your body and your impulses, and engages them in God's service in a way that you can become purified. Anything else, Nandadula?
No, thank you. Thank you very much, Maharaj, for taking so long time, and I'm so indebted to you. It got clear to me today about this verse. Now, thank you.
You're such a nice... Anyway, I don't want to embarrass you, but... Okay. Anybody else like to ask anything? Okay, this somehow or other. Anybody else?
No, it's Gail again. I still don't have a question, but I really just had to express my appreciation for, both were, none of the last questions, but because he asked that question, you said all that you just said, and what I'm really appreciating is this. What I'm calling the cycle of faith now.
The what?
The cycle of faith that you just described. First we hear, then we apply, then we experience, then that gives us faith and trust, and then the cycle starts again, with increased hearing due to our increased faith. And then we apply again and experience and faith, and then hear better again, and on and on and on, And so it was so great to hear it, how our faith increases in such a, the way you explain it, in such a kind of the process, So that was really great. And then also, for the first time, I feel like I understood why it's not like impossible or so incredible that a person can hear Krishna's name just once and be liberated, and because you explained that if the person has a high degree of faith, then that's possible, because if I hear Krishna's name just once, nothing happens. But if a person with a high degree of faith hears it just once, then, you know, he's liberated. And so your explanation just, you know, clarified for the first time for me how come that's possible. So I just really wanted to appreciate, you know.
Thank you. That. Thank you. You know, the story of that famous Calcutta landowner, Lal Babu, that's the famous story where he was an extremely pious person. And he was walking down the street, and there was that sweeper. And the sweeper said, time is passing, move on. Now, he was at a period of spiritual evolution where that was the profound message of the Bhagavad Gita, that the world is temporary and we have to proceed in our spiritual life, you know? That's really the message of the Bhagavatam. Tetsyai Vaheto, Priyate Kovido, Talabhyate Yat. You know, we have to go for that which really has value in a very practical way in spiritual life. So he heard that. He heard that as a very profound message. And he gave up everything and he moved to Vrindavan. It's a true story. And he built this beautiful temple, which is the glory of the Bengalis, called the Lal Babu Mandir. And he just lived in a hut behind the temple. So it's there. And I, you know, I have a little experience here in Vrindavan, especially this month is pretty wonderful for me because, you know, I spent a lot of time just taking people around and trying to give them spiritual experiences. And now, from all over the world, all the time, very, you know, new people come. And a lot of times they wind up with me. Either they're directed to me, or I have this incredible, by the mercy of Guru Raj, I have this incredible place in Vrindavan. I have this whole house. And it's just the most beautifully located place, in such a spiritual neighborhood. And I have this room upstairs, very suitable, and downstairs there's this nice memorial to the saintly lady who passed away, Atra Vigraha. And it's very nicely set up for me to give class. And I just been doing it with so many. As I go downstairs, we have kirtan, I speak. And I'm seeing so many people coming. Well, one second. Recently, Giriraj Swami's niece came. And people like that from all over the world coming. But this particular month of December, it quiets down. The weather is ideal, at least according to me. And I just really get again to really focus and doing a lot of reading. And you can really feel the effect of it's like a snowball of concentrated chanting and hearing. You know, it's just, it gives you kind of some hope in the process. Yeah. But the trick is to somehow or other chant and hear and increase that, because it's so purifying on the heart. Good. Anybody else like to say hello?
Thank you for the class, Maharaj.
Is that Henry?
Yes, Maharaj.
Well, thank you for being such a nice regular, Henry. And I'm finalizing that program at that, you know, place in Washington, and I'll get back to you. Basically, the dates are pretty much finalized, but the exact things of when I do my speaking, I'm just kind of finalizing that now. Thank you, Henry. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna,
Maharaj.
Please accept our humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Is that Stella?
Stella, yeah. And Carl.
Hare Krishna.
Oh, just so nice to hear from you. Where are you now? When are you still in Iowa, or you're headed out to?
Yes, we're heading out at the end of the month.
Okay. Okay. Are you going to go to China?
Yes.
Okay. Very nice. Okay. I'm just hankering. When will I see you again?
Oh, we can't wait to see you.
In February.
In February.
When is February? Because I leave at the end of February.
We'll be in Vrindavan from the 17th through the 22nd.
Oh, okay. Well, great. I leave the 23rd, so I'll...
Die!
Thank you. Okay. All right, Paul.
Bye,
thank
Paul.
You.
Thank you so much. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hello, Maharaj. Maharaj.
Is that Mother Nani?
Yes, Maharaj, it's me.
Okay.
I'm still in Washington, D.C. We just
okay.
had my daughter's funeral yesterday.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So that's the closure, but I'm still so grateful. It's really been, I don't know, I feel grateful for watching how the Lord has put everything in place so nicely, Maharaj. It's amazing.
Well, like you said, the glory of the Holy Name, and that's the experience, that faith is so nice.
Yes. Thank you for the blessed.
Well, thank you. You know, Ekavira and Vrajalila, they come to my class in the afternoon here.
Oh.
Really well. And, of course, they're kind of following it, but I related to them that I spoke to you, and they were quite happy.
Yes.
These long-standing relationships in spiritual life are really wonderful. Community. The community of loving devotees. It's really
It is. And thank you for being him, all right. Thank you for giving so nicely. I really look forward to hear you every week as long as I can.
Okay, okay. I'll try to be more alive. I'll try to be more alive next week. It's at night here.
Yes.
Sometimes I get a little not that late, but somehow today was... But the questions kind of perk things up, and I really appreciate that. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Mahadana.
Oh, from Connecticut, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, please accept my invitation, please.
Thank you for coming on. And you told me last time that you really appreciate the classes. It's great.
Oh, so much.
I'll be in Connecticut I'm going to be doing a seminar at some yoga studio there in Glastonbury, but
yeah.
Then I'll stop at the temple. That's probably in the second week of March. I'll let PRE know the exact dates. Hope to see you.
Oh, wonderful.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Maharaj.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. It's Lily Tamadava. Thank you for class.
Ooh, okay. I'll let you know when I'm coming to Washington. It's going to be sometime in March, but thank you for being on. Thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Great. Regards to your family.
Yes.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hey, Krishna Maharaj, it's Gopa Kishore.
Gopa, great. Oh, nice. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Regards to the family, the big family. Sometimes they're amazed here because a lot of times people attend my classes from Croatia and Vedasachi Nandana Swami disciples. People don't seem to have many kids. And I take a little pride there. I remember we described, in the Chaitanya Bhagavad, it says, increase the devotees. And, all these nice families with so many nice kids. people appreciate it, you know. It's great. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. It's Chris from Pennsylvania.
Hey, okay, Chris. Great. Thank you. It's nice to get a vision of people from different places listening to the class. Thank you. Thank you. Interesting day. Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, I'm going to end now, and looking forward to hearing from me, you know, there next week. I'll take a nap before the class next time. I think that's what I need to do. Okay, thank you all. Chikopa Guru Vista, Chikopa Guru Vista.